friends, you will notice that during this preaching series, our scripture readings are coming from the book of Psalms. The Psalms, as I've said before, have been part of the worshiping life of God's people for thousands of years. The people of Israel used these songs in their ritual life as a community. The early Christians were certainly well acquainted with the Psalms. They're actually the part of the Old Testament that is most often quoted in the New Testament. Now, early tradition said that King David was the author of the Psalms, and certainly many of them were written by David. They tell us so. But now we know that the book of Psalms is not the work of one person. It's actually a collection of many authors who composed many pieces over the course of many years. And within the collection are hymns of praise, songs of lament, prayers of thanksgiving, and celebrations for royal occasions. This book that is centered right in the middle of our Bibles has a psalm for almost any human emotion or event you can imagine. Now, if you are to read the entirety of Psalm 25, which is where our scripture reading comes from today, you will see that the author seems to have taken some wrong turns in life. But in this psalm, we also see someone who desires to find their way back home. When we find ourselves wandering along the pathways of life, wondering which way we should go, it's good to remember that God is willing to lead us in truth and teach us his ways, if only we will listen. So let us listen now for the word of God in Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Now, will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you well know, we are in the midst of a sermon series called Prayer, Deep Faith, Lasting Bonds. We're looking at prayer as a practice that not only deepens our individual faith in God, but also as a practice that creates lasting bonds in community. Especially during these difficult days and these tenuous times when so much is uncertain and so much is unknown, we have needed the gift of prayer to keep us grounded in the power and in the presence of God. And during these days in which the need for social distancing has kept us from gathering together, we have needed the gift of prayer to keep us connected to one another. So far in this series, we have talked about prayers of gratitude, prayers of intercession, and prayers of confession. But lest we start to think that prayer is simply a way for us to communicate with God, a way for us to tell God what is on our minds and in our hearts, we are turning this week to prayers of listening. This week, we're reminded that if prayer is a conversation with God, then we need to make sure we leave room for God to speak to us. Now, I wonder if anyone else does this. When I am I'm driving someplace new, I usually put the address in a navigation app on my phone. And of course, to abide by our state's safe driving laws, I put my phone in a holder on my dashboard so that I can have both hands on the wheel. And as I'm driving, the navigation app is giving me directions through my phone while I also have the radio on to listen to music. And that works great, especially at the beginning of the trip when I'm in familiar territory or while I'm driving on the highway when there isn't much need to pay attention to directions. But as soon as I get off the highway and start to get close to my destination, as soon as I have to start really paying attention to where I'm going, I turn the radio off. I need the car to be totally silent so that I can focus all of my attention on the navigation instructions that are coming from my phone. I have to turn down the volume on everything else so that I can figure out where I'm going. I don't know if anyone else does that. If we were worshiping together in the sanctuary, I would invite you to raise your hand if you do that too, if you turn down the volume when you need to concentrate on where you're going. Maybe there would be some other hands to tell me I am not alone in that. But I wonder if prayers of listening invite us to do something similar in our spiritual lives. Prayers of listening invite us to turn down the volume so that we can figure out where we're going. As we enter into silent prayer, we allow God to give us the directions we need to navigate the road ahead. In her new book, Untamed, best-selling author and activist Glennon Doyle tells the story of how she learned to listen to God. She was at a major turning point in her life. Her marriage was falling apart, and she was not sure what to do next. She woke up one morning at 3 a.m. and decided to do what many of us do when we need information. She turned to Google. She started frantically searching and researching, trying to find advice from the so-called experts who would surely know what she was supposed to do. She was frantic, and she was getting more and more confused about what to do because everyone thought she should do something different. And then one day, a few weeks later, Glennon got a card from a friend with these words in bold, capital, thick black lettering: "Be still and know." Now, Glennon had heard that verse before: "Be still and know that I am God." It comes from Psalm 46. But this time she heard it differently, because the card didn't say scour the internet and know, or read books by experts and know, or even survey your friends and know. The card suggested a different approach: to stop the frantic searching and researching, to stop the confusion and the chaos, to stop, to be still, and to know God. And I love how she describes what she did next. She writes, "This seemed like magical nonsense, but desperate women take desperate measures, and I decided to experiment." So after the kids left for school, Glennon would shut herself in her closet, sit down on a towel on the floor, close her eyes, and do nothing but breathe. At first, each 10-minute session felt to her like it was 10 hours long. She says, "I would check my phone every few moments to see if the time was up. I would plan my grocery list. I would mentally redecorate my living room. The only things that I seemed to know on that floor were that I was hungry and itchy and suddenly desperate to fold laundry and reorganize my pantry. I was an input junkie, thrown into detox, and I was tempted to quit every second. But I was stern with myself. 10 minutes a day is not too long to find spending yourself, Glennon," she told herself. "For God's sake, you spend 80 minutes a day just looking for your keys. Now, Glennon found that after a few weeks, mind you, not just a day or two, a few weeks, after that, she was able to sit in the silence and find a low, deep, quiet stillness inside of herself, where she could feel God's presence and sense God's guidance. And what she discovered is that God would guide her by nudging her to do the next right thing, one thing at a time. God's voice didn't come booming from the heavens for her. Maybe it does for you, and what an incredible gift that must be for your faith. But if you have struggled to listen for God, if you have doubted God's guidance because you haven't heard God's voice in such a clear and conscious way, you are not alone. If silent prayer has been a struggle for you because you have been expecting that clear and conscious voice, I wonder if you might think about silent prayer differently. If you might think about it as an opportunity to find a low, deep, quiet stillness inside of yourself, a place where you can feel the gentle nudge God is giving you to do just the next right thing, one thing at a time. As Glennon says later in her chapter on this practice of listening to God, unfortunately, God does not usually reveal to us a 5-year plan for our lives. It would be so much easier if God did. But our lives unfold one step at a time, one decision at a time. And when we find clarity around what that one next step should be, or what that one decision is that we need to make, friends, we are discovering the voice of God. We're letting God lead us in truth and teach us his ways. Now, it can seem like silent prayer is simply an individual prayer practice, something that will help us as individuals to deepen our own faith in God. But can it also help to create those lasting bonds in community that we are trying to do through this preaching series? Well, in our neighborhood groups this week, we're going to give something a try. We're going to invite you to pick a time when all of you in your group will agree to be in silent prayer together for 5 minutes. We're going easy on you. We're not even making you do the 10 minutes that Glennon did to start her own prayer practice. 5 minutes is all that we are asking. Your neighborhood group coordinator will help your group to choose a time this week when you will all agree to be in silent prayer together and apart, knowing that when we tell others that we're going to do something, we are so much more likely to follow through on it. How many of you back in pre-pandemic days would drag yourself out of bed to go and meet a friend at the gym, but without that friend waiting for you, it would be so much easier to just turn over and pull up the covers and go back to sleep? Agreeing to be in silent prayer together does the same thing. It makes us accountable to each other, and it pushes us to do things that might feel hard for us to try on our own. So if you are part of a neighborhood group this week, maybe you will have the opportunity to try this together. And if you're not part of a neighborhood group, maybe you have a friend or a couple of friends that you could reach out to and invite them to be with you in silent prayer at the same time for just 5 minutes at some point this week. Friends, whether we try this practice in community or on our own, we all have the same invitation this week. The invitation for us is to stop the frantic searching and researching, to stop the confusion and the chaos, to stop, to be still, and to know our God. Friends, may the practice of silent prayer invite you to find a low, deep, quiet stillness inside of yourself so that God can nudge you to do the next right thing, one thing at a time. And in that low, deep, quiet, still place within you, my hope and my prayer is that you will come to discover the voice of God deep within you.